Once again, good morning.
Good morning.
I was a little surprised at the height of one of your kindergartners. He was pretty tall up here, but thank you for allowing me to join you for worship this morning. Typically in the prison, we worship on Friday night, so that gives me opportunity to go other places on Sunday and or worship with my family. And today I have the opportunity to be here with you, so thank you for that. A little bit about prison ministry, and then I'm going to move on to the reason why you called me here this morning. Prison ministry is a very interesting beast, we'll call it, but it's also a very interesting opportunity. There are a lot of very low points in any given week, and there are also a lot of very high points in any given week. We probably see more of a roller coaster ride than what most churches do at any given time. But part of that is because the world has been stripped away, and the people inside are forced to deal with who they really are and who they really want to be. If we took away all of the distractions for all of the people in this room right now, we would probably find ourselves on a very high or very low emotional place, a very high or a very low spiritual place. And so inside the prison, we have the opportunity to walk with guys in a wide variety of emotional and spiritual walks. And that's a joy. It's also a burden. But God didn't ever say that following him would be easy. But in the midst of those burdens, we get to see some of the joys. Have any of you ever heard the words from someone who was completely lost, give their lives to Christ? And this is interactional, so you can actually put your hand up in church today. It's amazing to hear and to be available for those things. It's not because of anything I do, but I can be available to hear that. And so this morning, I want to thank you for your prayers, for your support for Cornerstone. And as we move forward, hopefully we get to know each other better as congregations, not just as individuals. Because the guys inside the walls are truly coming to understand what it means to be part of something bigger than they are. Not just in Cornerstone as a church, but to be a part of the church. So thank you this morning and for your ongoing prayers and support. Before we open God's word this morning, let's ask his blessing upon it. Lord, we come to you this morning and we give you thanks. We are in the midst of the Thanksgiving weekend, and we intentionally pause during this weekend to open your word, to hear from you, to be given clear sight of the path that you have for us. We pray, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit not only during this reading, but that your Spirit would fill each of our hearts so that as the reading happens, it would be interpreted spiritually for us and then applied to our lives, that we might continue to grow to be more of who you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we are going to read from Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to begin reading with the first verse. Wasn't sure if it's on the screen. Each church does things a little different. But Isaiah 11, beginning with the first verse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. A cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hands into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, and from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. The blessing of God's word for us this morning. The name Jesus is often thought of, or the name of Jesus Christ is often thought of in our culture to be kind of a Western name. We don't give much thought to the fact that Jesus was not a Westerner. We think Jesus was his first name and Christ is his second name, his last name. But that's not the case at all. The title of the song that we just sang a moment ago, Hail to the Lord's Anointed, gives us a little bit of a hint of what Christ actually means. Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah. It doesn't take much effort to see that in a broken world like we have today, the news, the social media, the broken families, growing prison populations, disastrous storms, it doesn't take long to figure out that we need a saving Messiah. Humanity, so far, hasn't done very well on its own. The book of Isaiah, as with other Old Testament prophets, was not a fortune teller. It wasn't just somebody who was reading a crystal ball and said, here's what's going to happen someday. Good luck, go figure it out. What he does is he gives us a timeless message that was for the people of that day but still applies to us today. Reminding us, what am I doing wrong? I'll try a different pocket. I like technical problems because it takes our focus off the guy up front with the mic on. We're good now? We'll try this. Okay. The book of Isaiah turns our attention so that we figure out that there's not only brokenness in our midst, but we have a place to turn, and we need to turn. He does this by sharing information about the future as God's spokesperson. His message was directed to the southern kingdom of Judah, but it's applicable to us even today. It includes warning and exhortation, encouragement and comfort. The original intended audience were people chosen by God whose spiritual direction was generally downward, away from God, They were leaving the mountain of the Lord, so to speak. They knew of God, and they even mechanically continued to practice the things he told them to do. But it wasn't a heart thing. They were religious acts, but they were headed for peril as a result of their apostasy. They were not following. They simply were abandoning their heartfelt commitment to God, God's design for community, for worship, and for all of life. In the midst of a Thanksgiving weekend, I throw this question out to you. Did you stop to truly give thanks? Heartfelt thanks. Or has Thanksgiving been for you, like many people, a long weekend with Black and Blue Friday mixed into the middle? And yeah, I said black and blue. I've seen some of the elbows that people throw in some of those lines. It's nuts. But that too is a reminder that we have things mixed up. What became at Christmas God reaching down to us has become about presents. And then it's become about savings and about me getting what I want rather than the world receiving what it needs. Some of us have actions that do merit some applause from time to time. But so often our actions have become just actions. God looks much deeper within. Proverbs 16:2 tells us that all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Why do we do what we do? In that day, and very much so today, we put our accomplishments, our collection of trophies, whether it's success in business or sports, the number of followers that we have on a social media, we put all these in a high place for people to see. In our passage today, we find Isaiah using the imagery of a majestic forest, tall and proud, cut down to a stump, to almost nothing. Many of the men that I work with at one time had something in their lives that they were proud of. It might have been their car, it might have been their trophy girlfriend, it might have been how many dollars they were making dealing drugs. But they had something that they were proud of. And it's been cut back to a stump. What is the pride in my life? What is the pride in your life? But from the stump that Isaiah is talking about, through Jesse, David's father, will emerge a sprout. Now, if we think of a sprout compared to a forest, sometimes we think, so what? A sprout. Well, often when we look at a stump, it looks dead. In many ways, our lives at one time look like the forest, a huge, beautiful tree cut down, and we think, it's dead. My life is pointless. But then a sprout appears. A sprout shows up. And from this will emerge a sprout. And from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Not only could the view of this sprout be looking to the first coming of Christ, which, by the way, is what we celebrate at Christmas, just so we don't forget, the Spirit-anointed infant Messiah, his first coming, but now also looking ahead to his second. In his first coming, he was a helpless child. In his second coming, will be as a conquering warrior, reigning king. Two very different opportunities for him to share how vast the love of God really is. In reality, Christ is the root. He's the sprout, he's the branch, and he's the fruit. On him, the sevenfold Spirit of the Lord will rest, and he will judge with righteousness. Serving in a prison, there are many times that I hear men demanding justice. Do we really want true justice? Do we want full justice, or do we want situational justice? There are men inside the walls who tell me that the reason that they are inside the walls was completely based on trumped up charges. But they're not fighting it because they know that the things that they have done that they did not get caught for, if they were prosecuted on those things, their sentence would be worse. Many times we want to do something, accomplish something, go somewhere, make ourselves look good. Demand justice. But what is it that we are not paying attention to, that if justice was truly served, the thing that we were pondering wouldn't even matter? We need to stop and think about what we are really asking for in justice. Do we really want all the facts laid out? In certain situations, this may play in our favor, but if justice were applied to my life, and I'm guessing to everybody in here, I wouldn't have a chance. Scripture tells us a couple things that are pretty significant. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is there anybody here that doesn't fit in the category of all? Nope. Okay, so all of us have sinned. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. Still want justice? If full justice is to be ours, then eternal spiritual death is ours as well. That is the only just ruling that can come down. So rather than wanting true justice, or even selective justice, what if there was something else? On our own, we are hopeless. And justice isn't going to work out in our favor. What we can hope for is that by grace, through faith, Jesus' righteousness is given to us. Only then will his judgment fall in such a way that we are not among the wicked who are slain. The interesting thing about our world today may not be that much different than it was in Isaiah's day, other than we have a whole bunch of electronics to communicate with. But we are still looking for that peace that is described starting in verse 6, where the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling are being led together by a child, where Dort and Northwestern get along. We constantly are looking for peace. but we're so often looking for it in the wrong places. Peace is not finding that perfect gift at 4 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday. Peace is turning our focus on Christ and giving him thanks for the things that he has already done for us, the way he has revealed himself to us, and the opportunities he places before us. And that opportunity might include giving someone a gift. Great. We've been given lots of gifts. It's not bad to share what we have with others. In that day, people tried to live in the shadow of the great and majestic forest. They tried to hang their hat and eternity on the tree named David. They thought, I've got David in my background. I don't need to worry about all this other stuff. I'm one of the chosen. The people of Judah had God's holy city, Jerusalem. They saw themselves as untouchable. They were on the mountain. Today we have our own trophy shelves, hat hooks, shadows that we try to live around rather than living in the real and lasting peace of the Anointed One. We hold on to political promises as though they were from the Messiah. We build more prisons to house those who play in the shadows the most. Somehow we draw an arbitrary line. If you play in the shadow a little bit and you don't get caught, you're okay. But if you play more often, then you're kind of living on the edge. Oh, you got caught. We're going to have to put you away. We build abortion clinics, altars to the god of guilt-free convenience. We build stadiums to the gods of entertainment, as though they can bring us the peace we long for when we don't want to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. To experience his glorious resting place, we must look to the banner that stands through the sprout of the root of Jesse. Live as the surviving remnant, not as the proud and majestic forest. God doesn't need us to be the forest. He's turning our eyes and our hearts to the sprout. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Why do we keep trying to be first? So that we can be last? In a few short weeks, we celebrate the birth of Christ the King, a moment where the reality and the amazing depth of God's love became more fully known. This morning, I was talking with somebody before the service, and we were discussing something that I think is important for us to remember, that from the time that Adam and Eve took their first steps, God has been revealing himself to them all the way through Genesis, Exodus, right on down the line. God is revealing himself more and more because we broke the direct connection. Sin got in the way. We can't handle God's glory at this point. So he gives it to us a little at a time. Today, we have all of these pages. Pages that describe to us who God is and what God has done and why he wants us to do what we do. He doesn't want us to just do it. He wants us to live this out of love for him. To be his humble yet courageous servants. To follow wherever he leads. the Lord reached out his hand at what we celebrate as Christmas to show us the extent of his love. And 30-some years later, he bumped it up a couple notches when he showed us how far he would go, even to the cross. Our opportunity now in the coming weeks and for all of eternity is to live with the delight of the fear of the Lord. Are you open to the Spirit in your life? The Spirit is the one who helps us understand the Scriptures. The Spirit is the one who helps guide us back to Christ. Are we open to that Spirit in ever greater measure? Are we truly reformed and always reforming? Are we okay being reformed up to here, but leave me alone after that? Our call is a call to be completely His. All in. Sidebar. How many people here are Cowboys fans? Dallas Cowboys. Nobody's willing to admit it. I saw a thing. I'm going to go with it. I saw a thing on Facebook the other day where someone said that the star on the side of their helmet wasn't an emblem as much as it was a rating. Dallas isn't having a good year this year. But in the midst of that, there are some diehard fans. What is it that you are diehard about? Are you diehard for your profession? Are you diehard for your school? Are you diehard for your family? Are you willing to go where God leads you? Period. Some of you who know me never, it's not a surprise to some of you that know me that I go to prison. The why might surprise you, but the location doesn't. I never saw it on my radar, but I'm so glad he brought me there. Jesus is willing to give you the fullness of his righteousness. But the only thing that you have that can hold that is a heart. So if you're not going to give him your heart, he's got nowhere to put the righteousness. Jesus' love for us was proven when he left heaven to come here to this broken world. And it was taken a step further when he died on the cross. And now, having been here, he promises to come back. Jesus has done so much that I am thankful for. Truly, utterly thankful for. And I pray that you have that same kind of gratitude. That the root, the sprout, and the branch all point to the fruit of the love of Christ. May you be blessed not only by his first coming, but by the promises, the hope, and the anticipation
of his second. Let's pray. Lord, your word tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, we are here today gathered between Thanksgiving and Christmas, between the Atlantic and the Pacific, between your will and ours. Help us to receive your reaching hand, stretched out in love. Help us to live motivated by hearts that are constantly changing to be more like yours. And all God's people said,
amen.
I invite you to stand for our song of response, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.